Welcome to Rule 11, a weekly football officiating conversation. Rule 11 is a podcast show discussing all areas around college football officiating, on the field and off. Our passion is to help others pursue their goals in college officiating. The only way to improve is to work to improve, and this is one avenue to hone our craft. So we hope you enjoy the conversation just as much as we do on the road toward the perfect game. So thank you for joining us, and we hope you enjoy. Dwayne, how are you today?
Doing well. Thank you for asking.
It's good to see you.
Yeah, always good seeing you.
Man, it's winding down. It's winding down.
It is winding down.
It's winding down to some and winding up for other things.
Correct, yeah. Right? Yeah. The season's, it's August.
It's approaching.
So it's coming here pretty soon, before we know it.
Before you know it. That's it. That's how it goes, right?
Yeah.
And then before you know it, it's over.
And exactly.
You want to be the party pooper, right?
Yeah. And the season's over. Yeah. Yep. So,
but here we are.
That's the cycle.
Here we are again.
Here we are. Thank you again to our listeners. Thank you for listening. Thank you for all the great emails you continue to send and feedback you give us. And it's why we've done it this for so long. So.
Yep. Never ever disappoints, to be honest with you.
Exactly. So. If you think, we love every single one of those emails. So.
It's great. So thank you so much for the time. Yeah. What else would we do at the beginning of this thing?
Well, how have you been?
Like, I've been good.
Yeah?
Yeah. We're just getting ready for the season, like everybody else, you know?
Yeah.
Plus the day job, you know, plus family life.
Exactly.
Plus chores.
All of it.
Whatever else.
Yep. It's been, the weather's cooled down some up here, right? It was like...
Yeah. Well, I mean, today... It was the first real cool day.
Yeah.
I mean, compare and contrast. It was warm for a little while, but more the norm.
Yep.
Getting ready for our clinic, our conference clinic is in a week.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You guys still, the last out to shoot, I think, or something.
Yes, that's pretty it. Close. We are last down the old bobsled trail.
Cool.
Yeah, looking forward to it. It'll be fun. Good to see some people.
Yep.
First one, I think you mentioned this was your first year in person.
Yes.
And that's be the same for me. So,
okay, cool.
It'll be good. Good to see people.
Awesome.
I shouldn't say that because I had the winter clinic. We do
yeah,
this too, so.
Yeah, but that's a little different, right?
Yeah, this is, we got the tests, all the other stuff. All the stuff that makes you a little, you know, makes the heartbeat rise a little bit. You know what I mean?
Yep. Once you get past that, then it's like, oh, okay, we can all relax.
Yeah, here right? we go. Crew dinner, have some fun, then a little banquet, Hall of Fame.
Nice.
All that type of thing.
Awesome.
It'll be fun to see all that. How are you?
I'm good. Busy as well. Obviously, season's approaching, like you just mentioned. I did want to talk about, I just went to the NASO Summit in Denver, Colorado. You know,
okay.
They move it around every year. And this is the first in-person one they've had in 3 years.
Okay.
I think the last one they did a virtual one. Mm-hmm. And it's the first one I've ever been to. I've always wanted to kind of go to one and had the opportunity to go. And I enjoyed it a lot. I mean, it's, if you don't know, it's National Association for Sports Officials.
Uh-huh.
So it's sports in every sport, officials are there from every sport. And so the NASO is, I don't know, this organization is incredible. You know, I recommend people go at least once just to see the passion for officiating. Even if it's, I mean, there's a lot of things they talk about that we don't even think about, I think, as officials, at least I don't.
Sure.
You know, like taking care of officials, insurance.
Yeah.
You know, legal issues, things like that, how to recruit, how to make things better. And the stories that people shared were pretty amazing from all over. I mean, I talked to people from water polo and.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
And, like sports, like, you know, I don't watch.
Wow.
I have no knowledge about, but
sure.
It's just good to. And and here's the other thing, thought I want to have, I want to mention was, like, if you start feeling. Kind of in the doldrums about officiating, like, you know, you need a kick or something, something to dry, like get you going again.
Yep.
Get, you know, get around officials, right?
Yeah, right.
If you go to this summit, you're just around officials. Everybody's talking officiating. It's just a great energy. So
everybody has the same passions, just different sports, huh?
Yes, okay. Exactly. Yeah. It's incredible. And then, so two people on Dimension.
Yeah.
Because I told them I shout them out. Gentleman named Nick Brigati.
Okay.
He's a Mac official.
Okay.
But he's also a representative for this company called RefReps.com.
RefReps.
Yeah, and they all do like this virtual, I don't want to say virtual, it's actually live. You can take reps from your computer because you get the perspective of an official on the field, right?
Okay.
So they've put cameras on officials.
Yes.
And so you can pick a position and have that perspective. So I thought that was pretty cool.
Is that when you had the Oculus going?
No, that's the next person I wanted to mention.
Yeah, okay, but go ahead.
It's a similar thing. It's like in the same realm. This just how can we?
But
get
you're watching what somebody else is watching,
yeah, like
and whatever. And, but their movements, not your. You're just watching what they look.
Yes,
at.
For this one, yeah, because you're at your computer. You have that perspective.
Right.
It's live video. Excuse me, it's video.
Sure.
As opposed to the Oculus thing, which I'll talk about in a second.
Okay.
And so Nick also has a YouTube channel because he's a Mac official.
Uh-huh.
He puts together YouTube talks, and I don't want to say it's like pure officiating, but it's just. Like, I think there's like a study group or something.
Okay.
They have, and it's on. So I'll put both of those in the show notes. And Nick was a fan of Rule 11, and he mentioned, you know, he enjoyed it, and so that's how.
Very cool. And what was that last name again?
Brigati.
Okay. I thought I heard something good. Okay.
Yeah. Solid name.
Yes.
The other company was, I think our buddy Dennis Barella.
Right. Yes, Dennis.
Yeah, he helps out with this company. It's called Get It Right. He's the one that took the picture of me with the Oculus.
Yep.
And so it's virtual reality. This is actual virtual reality.
Mm-hmm.
And so you actually put these goggles on, and you're on the field. It's weird. I mean, you turn around. You probably look crazy to other people.
Sure.
Just turning around in circles because you're on the field. You can choose which position you work, you know, by touching,
clicking on the
official.
Uh-huh.
They did a demonstration where people were all over the country, I think, or several different, they weren't in the room. And, Dennis, he had his on and he was on the field and these other people were all over and they can hear each other talk through the Oculus.
Oh, wow.
And so you're kind of doing this virtual.
You're working some positions.
You click the play button and the play starts and you work your position.
Wow.
You can throw flags. It's crazy.
That's pretty cool. So is there a name to this? What was it?
Yeah. Get It Right.
Get It Right.
Yeah. Get It Right. .com, I think is the website, but anyway, check it out. It's pretty cool stuff.
Wow.
So stuff like that.
Let me ask you real quick.
Yeah.
When you had the goggles on.
Yeah.
And you're in a football stadium, I would assume.
Yep.
Of some sort.
Yep.
Did you take a peek around the whole stadium, took a deep breath and how, you know, a second?
Take a second.
That's
be grateful
cool.
I was there. Yeah, you can turn around, look around, see the press box.
Wow.
Stuff like that.
Yeah.
So it's
VR,
pretty cool.
Man. That's technology is going to make officiating better. I mean, I think it's been doing that for a while.
Yeah.
This just hasn't really made it to mainstream stuff yet, but
No.
You know, quarterbacks have been working with it for a long time.
Yep.
So very cool.
So cool. So I just wanted to shout out.
Good shout outs. All right.
NASO they frown upon calling it NASO, by the way. Mm. NASO. So.
Okay. I'll take your word for that. Very cool. I'm glad you had a good time.
Yeah.
I guess saw some good photos and you did a presentation though too, didn't you?
Oh yeah, because the reason it kind of went is the Pac. It's in Denver, and the Pac-12 schools there, right? Is the University of Colorado's there, and so they try to take the conference that's there, and have them sponsor it, right? So
okay.
Pac-12 Football Association sponsored it, and so they asked the people that were going, which was me and another official, Hutch. He went to lead the football breakout. So that's what we did. Yeah.
Very cool. Yeah. All right. Well, sounds like a fun trip.
Yes, sir.
Good to hear. Okay, what else do we do? I can't remember how we do this anymore.
Oh man.
So we talk. How you did? How we doing?
Yeah. So we don't. I mean, there's emails to read, but there's so many. I don't want to leave people out, but a lot of well wishes.
Yeah, a lot of heartstring ones. You know,
a lot of heartstrings ones.
As Dwayne would put it.
Yes. Exactly.
But yes, there's lots of them. It's too many to read. But we have acknowledged them. Thank you very much.
Yep.
Appreciate those kind words.
Yep. Let's see who else. So what else going on? How to reach us?
There you go.
You know, you're reaching us now if you're listening. So
yes,
you know how to.
And
do
you're sending
that.
Us emails.
Send us an email, rule11officials@gmail.com.
Oh, hey, real quick.
Yeah.
We did get this one email from a gentleman the other day that said he just stumbled across us.
Oh, yeah.
From the Texas area.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, let me bring that up real
quick. Bring that one up real quick because, I mean, it's always great to get some new listeners or new blood in there. And then,
yep.
You know.
Where is this guy?
I guess it was shocking. I mean, I shouldn't say that because who am I? You know what I mean? But
yeah,
but it was really cool to see somebody's. Hey, I just stumbled across you guys, and I'm like, wow, okay,
yep,
very cool to hear.
Well, it's not coming up pretty fast.
That's okay.
So
I just want to give that one. A
but
mention.
He knows who he is.
So thanks for finding us. And,
yeah, thank
and,
you for finding
probably
us.
Probably doing some what do you call that? Binge listening.
yep.
I did a little of that the other day.
Yeah. So yeah, that's pretty cool that. It's still being discovered, and we didn't really like saturate.
No, and it'll be there for a while. It's going to be there, so keep finding it.
Yep.
Know
what I
mean. Okay,
what are we doing today?
Hey, you know what? We're going to talk a little rule talk.
Some rule talk, people's favorite.
Some people's favorite, some people's not so favorite. But we aim to please everyone. So.
Yes, sir.
Who do we usually go to, or who have we gone to in the past that has, hammered out the downloads for starters?
Yes.
On any of these type of topics that have a lot of tentacles to them.
Yeah, I think probably our most popular guest.
Yeah.
At least by listeners, is Matt Mills.
Yep.
Big 12, Phil Judge.
So he's going to join us. He's going to talk everything about fair catch.
Fair catch, yes.
And he is the one guy that could take fair catch and make it have 16 tentacles. So
yes.
It's really good because there's always, you know, I did learn something today looking through this, which is great.
Oh, okay.
So this will be good.
That's what it's all about.
Matt always makes things real simple. And so we're looking forward to talking with him again because he is going to bless us with his presence and his knowledge. So we're going to chat with Matt. So that's what we're doing today.
Yes, sir.
Now,
quote of the week.
Quote of the week.
All right. So this one is from Paul Bear Bryant.
Uh-huh.
He said, "It's not the will to win that matters. Everyone has that. It's the will to prepare to win that matters." Oh. And so,
look at that.
There you go. Kind of wanted to do something on preparation since we're all in
window.
That mode. Yep.
Yeah. Thank you. Well, listen. Let's prep some fair catch talk. Excuse me.
Yep.
So we're going to get on the phone with Matt, and we'll be right back. Here we go, Dwayne.
Yes.
You ready for some fair catch talk?
Yes.
You
we
know?
Are. I thought you were going to start off with maybe some Eminem, like, guess who's back? Back again.
Yeah, I should have. That would have been good. But you know what? I'm not that talented. So listen.
Eminem is back, right?
Eminem is back. Matt Mills, that is Eminem, to help us out with a topic that's pretty convoluted with a lot of layers to it. And, you know, I was talking with Matt in the past month or so about looking for a document that that talked about all the different variables on signals and catches and muffs and touches on free kicks and, you know, where the ball might or might not go. And he couldn't find one. And so I go, well, let's put one together and talk about it. So that's where we're at. So Matt, thank you again for coming on and helping us and doing your thing. And how are you?
Doing very well. Thanks, you too. How are you guys?
We're great.
Yes, doing well.
We're
thank
doing
you
well.
Very much.
You know,
so is this really going to be the last call here?
Oh, with the hard-hitting questions off the bat.
This might be the last call.
Last guest.
Last guest. We might talk one more time. Yes. Well, we will talk one more time.
For sure. Yes.
Before the season starts. That's what we know today.
Yes.
Because you can only count on today.
We're giving you the political answer there.
Yeah.
So, good job,
is that
Tyler.
Good? Is that good?
Yes.
I know how to get on a podium. Come on.
I guess, you know, you can cue the bagpipe music and I'll start reading the eulogy here.
Yeah.
Well, if I had some bagpipe music, you know, tuned up, I'd fire it up, but I don't have any.
Right.
We'll have to imagine. Use your imagination.
You find us something and I'll do my best Prince voice. Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to celebrate this thing called Rule 11.
Oh, boy.
There we go.
Oh, boy. No, but we don't need a eulogy. We're still alive. We're still around.
I'm still around, yes.
Okay, nice. Well, I do admire that both you guys are going out on top, you know, that people are still applauding rather than like the old Bugs Bunny cartoon, you know, where they're putting out the hook and pulling you off the stage or something like that. Yeah. So
that's you have to avoid.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, thank you. Well, let's talk some fair catch.
Let's get into this thing.
Absolutely. Let's jump into this thing and finish out strong with all the great work you guys have done. So as you mentioned, fair catch has become a bigger part of the game.
Yeah.
Used to be a little bit smaller, but as they've introduced new rules, new wrinkles to it, I think it's become a little more difficult to follow, but you know, it's always been a big part for back judges. So Tyler, as the back judge, why don't you give us a little explanation of what you cover in your pregame with the return guys?
All right. Well, I try to keep it fairly simple because I know they're busy for starters. But I usually, I first ask the special team coach, you know, may I talk to your players? I don't want to just go up and bother them during their workouts, but they usually say yes. And then I ask them if they want to join and they either say yes or no. And then I do whatever they want. But usually I'm a kind of guy that likes to propose questions. And so I usually ask them, first of all, you know, I introduce myself and I'll ask them, you know, we just talk about signals and we're just going to talk about signals. Whether that's shading your eyes, whether it's an actual signal for you, you're going to give me a fair catch signal. And I usually ask them, you know, do you know why you're giving that signal? And usually none of them know why, minus they're going to catch the ball and they're not going to run, you know, but I try to give them more information. You know, I says, if you give me a good signal, you know, that means I can protect you just a little bit longer. If that ball happens to, you know, bounce off your face or your shoulder or your chest or something, you know, it just gives me a little bit more opportunity to protect you. And that's my goal, is to try and protect you, because this is a safety thing. And the longer we can protect you, the better we are. And so that's why I chat with you folks and ask you to get me the best one hand, at least over your head, at least one big one. And we can take care of you that way. So those are usually the simple things as far as a fair catch goes. You know, we get into some invalid stuff that maybe if we want to talk about later, we can. But as far as fair catch goes and valid signals, that's what I give them. And I tell them anything else that's not that is invalid. And then I tell them, well, I can't protect you longer than I could if you gave me a good signal. You know, meaning you give me a bad signal and it bounces off your chest, you're fair game to the team A player kickers. So let's just try and protect you. And those are the kind of little, the simple things I go through with them, in pregame to answer your question.
Who do you typically pull into that discussion with you?
It used to just be the punters. Now it's punters and kick returners. So, it's usually 3 to 4 different, players, because typically the kick returners are different players. So I'll do all that scouting pre-week, who their number one and the number two kick returner and punt returners are, because, you know, now, like you kind of mentioned, the rules have changed. And so now that's going to give kick returners more of an opportunity to give fair catches with benefit. They used to maybe do it from time to time, but now there's a benefit to it, right? And so I get those players involved, and you know, and I usually try to come up with one little thing. This is kind of a sidebar, but I one little thing that's an icebreaker. You know, if I find a stat about them that's maybe a little low in their department, they might not like, you know, I'll say, hey, you know, that yards per return care is pretty low. You know, are you gonna try and pick that 1.2 yards per average return up this today? You know, little icebreakers like that. They have fun with that. So anyways, kick returners, punt returners, number ones, number twos.
So you do involve the kick return, take
Correct.
Care of that, kill two birds with one stone, pull
yes.
them on that discussion as well.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Good move. Okay. Nice. So, you know, in the not too distant past, I think a lot of officials would have said, you know, that's just for deep officials. Yeah. I don't need to know the rules. I don't need to understand any of that stuff. And then in 2018, the NCAA changed the fair catch rules on free kicks, making it more likely that additional officials will get involved in fair catch plays. Mm-hmm. So, you know, with the rules as they are currently written, it's possible that almost any official on the field could get involved in a fair catch.
100%.
So, you know, with our discussion tonight, I was thinking, let's try to unpack all of these fair catch rules, fold them up nicely, and then repack them into our officiating bags so we know right where they are when we need them, when a question comes up, either on the field or on a test. We'll have that confidence to be able to answer that kind of question. So, you know, our goal every time I do one of these, I always approach this with the idea that I want the conversation to be about simplifying the rule and then making it easy to remember.
Yeah, 100%.
So I think you kind of touched on this a little bit, but, you know, why do you think those fair catch rules exist in the first place?
Protect the returner.
Right. Yeah. So it becomes about safety. So, you know, without a fair catch, we can jump into the rules a little bit. So rule 641, section 4, the opportunity to catch a kick and the interference with that opportunity. So in that section, if an inbounds player of the receiving team is located where they could catch a free kick or a scrimmage kick that has crossed the neutral zone, and if the player is attempting to do so, they must be given an unimpeded opportunity to catch the kick.
Yeah.
It is an interference foul. Before the receiver touches the ball, a Team A player enters the area defined by the width of the receiver's shoulders and extending 1 yard in front of him. When in question, it's a foul.
Yep.
So that kind of gives us our basis for what becomes interference, right?
Yes.
And over the years, you know, I don't know how many rule books you guys go back through, but, you know, the rule has changed. It's been 1 yard. It's been 2 yards. It's been a halo. It's been a half halo.
Yeah.
And then, as we just read, right now, 1 yard in front of the receiver's shoulder to shoulder is where interference starts. Now, you have to remember, this is without a signal. Right. The receiver gets that opportunity to catch the kick.
Yeah, real quick with that, without a signal, mm-hmm. I want to touch on a couple words on that first article you read that's really important, right? And I just want to touch this one more time where it says the receiving team player is located where they could catch, right? So that's a pretty big phrase. And the other one is the player is attempting to do so. So these are all judgments, but those are a couple of phrases in there that wouldn't, without a signal, that you know, have some weight into this judgment.
Yep. And you are absolutely right on those judgments as to when it becomes interference. But, you know, the point of this discussion was about the fair catch.
Right.
So we use this interference discussion as kind of a setup for what then happens next of the fair catch. So as soon as the rule book makers write a rule and they say, hey, before that ball is touched, you can't be within 1 yard in front of the receiver, shoulder to shoulder, what's going to happen next?
Oh, baby, they're going to...
What they always do when you change rules, try to find a loophole, a way around it. Yeah.
Right. So coaches, players, they've got to find a way to get the most advantage. They want to get up as close as possible, time up that hit, be at 1 yard, but just outside of it. Mm-hmm. And so then what does that end up doing to the players, right? It ends up leaving them in a vulnerable position, defenseless. Their attention's on this ball as it's coming down to catch it. They don't have a chance to protect themselves. And these players are coming at them at full speed.
Yeah.
And so it becomes basically a big game of chicken.
Yep.
Who's going to end up flinching first, right?
Yep.
So with all of that setup, that is what became the impetus to create the fair catch rule that exists in Rule 651. Now, Rule 651D sums up the reason for the fair catch rule and why it exists. Tyler,
yes.
You want to read us Rule 651D?
Sure. It says the purpose of the fair catch provision is to protect the receiver who, by using the fair catch signal, agrees they or a teammate will not advance after the catch.
So we've kind of hit on many of these things right from the start, but you know, what are the key points that we need to pull out from Rule 651D?
The fair catch is a safety rule. We talked a little bit about that earlier. Mm-hmm. We also talked about this one. It protects the receiver. And in exchange for that protection, Team B agrees they won't advance the ball.
Right. So those are the big points. But I think the biggest one in all of this is it is a safety rule. Try and make the game a little safer. And rather than them getting hit, they say, hey, we're going to give up the opportunity to advance for that protection, right?
Yep.
So in addition to the physical protection that the receiver gets, meaning that, you know, after they complete the fair catch, they can't be blocked or tackled, what other thing does the fair catch do for us?
Well, it also extends to the opportunity to catch the ball, for one. Changes.
Right. So what's the difference between the rule 641 and 651?
Yeah.
As far as the opportunity to catch the ball.
Oh, okay. So without the fair catch signal, if Team B player were to muff the ball, as soon as he touches it, right, his protection is over, right?
He,
there's no foul for catch interference. Whereas with a valid fair catch signal, if they muff the ball, we extend that opportunity to catch the kick, and that protection is still there.
Right. So the difference between the two is without a signal, they get the opportunity to catch the kick, but with a signal, if it is muffed, they get that opportunity to complete the catch. And as we talked about, you know, this conversation is about the fair catch itself, not necessarily interference. But we needed all of this set up here to understand fair catch and fair catch rules. And we'll come back to the interference rules a little bit later.
Okay.
So let's discuss what is required to complete a fair catch. Okay. And, you know, as you know, I'm big on kind of some key concepts, love to boil the rules down as much as possible.
Yeah.
Yep.
been known to use this a time or two. So the key concepts for completing a fair catch.
Yep.
You need a valid signal.
Okay.
Right?
Yep.
That's the first thing we need.
Number one. Yep.
We need a scrimmage kick that is beyond the neutral zone or any free kick.
Okay.
You need a kick that is caught before it touches any other player.
Mm-hmm.
And in that, using the word caught is an intentional act because if it hits the ground, it's a recovery. It's not a catch.
Right.
And then the last thing is the player who signaled is the one who catches it. So let's jump into these key concepts one by one in a little more detail to see if we can improve our understanding.
Sounds good.
So key concept number one, we needed a valid signal by a B player.
Okay.
Now you kind of hit on this, Tyler, with your pregame discussion with the return guys.
Uh-huh.
So what is a valid signal?
Well, by definition, it's a hand clearly extended over the head, waving side to side more than once, is what the definition says, or the rule says, more than once. So clearly above the head, waving side to side more than once is what our rule book tells us.
Okay. All right. So that is the method of the signal.
Correct.
What about when the signal can be given?
Well, it has to be given before for a fair catch. It has to be given when before it touches the ground or touches another player.
Okay.
So that's a couple things.
Right. So the second part, like you said, signals given before the ball hits the ground.
Yep.
Is there any exception to that?
Tell me.
So what about a free kick?
Oh, yeah.
Directly
driven
off
the ground.
Knee, right?
Yes.
Right? So you know, you're normally thinking of a punt.
Yep.
And that the signal has to be given before it hits the ground. But yeah, we could also have a fair catch on a free kick. Yep. And if the kicker drives the ball directly into the ground off the tee.
Yep.
And you would have the exception to that rule that they could give the signal after the ball had hit the ground, right?
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay. So it doesn't matter whether it is an invalid signal, meaning that, you know, they gave a two-handed signal above the head, they give a getaway signal, it doesn't meet the requirements of it, or they give it after the ball hits the ground. What's going to happen when that ball is caught or recovered?
It's going to be ball's going to be dead.
Yeah. Ball's going to be dead, right? Yep. We know that with an absolute certainty. Whether valid or invalid signal, once it's caught or recovered, it's going to be dead.
Yep.
Okay. So the last part of a valid signal is the signal has to be given before the ball is caught or touches another player.
Yeah.
So what's the difference between that and the signal that's given after the ball hits the ground?
What's the difference?
Yeah. So what's our difference there? Still dead after it's caught or recovered, right? But
yes. Correct.
If they give it after it's been caught or touches another player,
it's just an invalid signal.
But the ball is dead where the signal was given. So let's go through one of the ARs.
Yep.
AR 653, number 4. B1 catches a scrimmage kick beyond the neutral zone and then signals for a fair catch. So the ruling, it's an invalid signal, and the ball is dead where the signal was first given, as opposed to it being dead immediately if the signal is given after the ball hits the ground.
I follow you.
Dead as soon as it's caught. This, you could run 2 or 3 steps.
Signal.
And then the team B player gives a signal.
Dead.
And it's dead there. Yeah. It's not dead where
he caught it.
It was caught. Yeah. It's dead where the signal was given.
Got it. Yeah.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
So
I hope I never see that. I'll tell you what.
Right.
I hope to never
see. He would have to see some, like, a big freight train coming at him to pull that one out. You know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, that's the only thing I can see. So, yeah. But for sure. So the point of that is the ball is dead where he signals, not where he caught it or caught or recovered.
Right.
Yep. Okay.
Okay. So key concept number 2, remember, was that the scrimmage kick has to be beyond the neutral zone or on any free kick. So there's a great approved ruling that goes along with this, 653, number 1. Mm-hmm. Tyler, would you like to help us out with that?
Okay. It says A1 or B1 signals for a fair catch beyond the neutral zone during a kick that does not cross the neutral zone. So the ruling is any signal by Team A is ignored, and Team B may not make a fair catch signal because the ball did not cross the neutral zone. However, the ball is dead when caught or recovered. Now, I would say Team B can make a signal anytime they want, but we would treat it like Team A and we would ignore it if it's behind the neutral zone.
Well, so Team A signals.
Yep.
And if it is behind the neutral zone, it's just ignored. But Team B can make it. We are not going to ignore it, meaning
the ball will be dead.
Dead when it's caught or recovered.
Yes.
But it is not a fair catch.
Right. And what my point was, when my brain says the word ignored, is I'm trying to tell myself that we can't fake a fair catch behind the neutral zone so to where they can draw a KCI from Team A behind there. So again, you're right. Any signal, anytime, anywhere is going to rule the ball dead as soon as it is caught or recovered for that instance. So
Team A, we're ignoring it.
Okay.
But I think the big thing is when that kick is behind the neutral zone.
Yes.
It's anybody's ball.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely.
And that is why you can't have a fair catch is, say, Team B, big old pop-up kick, but it doesn't go beyond the neutral zone, and Team B thinks they're going to step up and catch. Well, anybody can catch, recover, advance that kick until it has crossed the neutral zone. So you could go up and push that Team B player out of the way, right?
Yep.
We could do a lot of things to go get to that ball, catch, recover, advance. And that's why it is not a fair catch.
Yep, 100%.
But as you said, our absolutes, and there are not very many of those in the rule book, that, anytime the free kick or the scrimmage kick is beyond the neutral zone and there's a signal by Team B, the ball is going to be dead when it's caught or recovered by either team.
Yep.
It doesn't matter if Team B catches it, it's going to be dead.
Yep.
The signaler or a teammate, and if Team A gets it, they can't advance it anyway because it's beyond the neutral zone. So it's going to be dead there as well, right?
Yep.
Yeah. I think all of us heard all of this before, but just in the ways you're putting it, the subtle ways that you're putting it, it's just kind of waking up, like, you know, new ways of thinking about it, I think. I'm just picking up things and I'm like, oh, okay, light bulbs are turning on, all kind of stuff. So
That's why we call them key concepts. Right?
Yeah, it's it.
We want to have those key in our mind that we are thinking about these things. And I think you're going to have more of these light bulb moments as we continue through this discussion here. So
Number three.
Number three. So what was number three? It was that the kick is caught before it touches any other player. And we've got two rules on that. Mm-hmm. Rule 281A, a fair catch of a scrimmage kick is a catch beyond the neutral zone, which we already went through, by a Team B player who has made a valid signal during a scrimmage kick that is untouched beyond the neutral zone. So to get the fair catch, you have to be the only one to touch it. And then there is a corresponding rule for free kicks, 281B, a fair catch of a free kick is a catch by a Team B player who has made a valid signal during an untouched free kick. And again, untouched is the important word in both of those.
Yeah. And that untouched means another player, right? Because obviously you can still muff the ball. The person that made the signal can touch the ball and it'd still be a fair catch, right?
Yes. Long as the person who muffs it is the same one who catches it, is the same one who signals, that would still be a fair catch.
Yeah.
But if somebody else muffed it first, then it's not a fair catch. So let's talk about an example play for that kind of illustrates what you're talking about, Dwayne.
Okay.
So during a free kick, B1 and B2 both signal as they run forward to catch a kick in the middle of the field. B1 muffs the kick at the B10 and B2 catches it on the same yard line. So our ruling there is that it's going to be B's ball first and 10 at the B10, but it's not a fair catch as the ball is touched prior to the catch. Even though both of them signaled for both of them signaled for the fair catch, the fact that B1 muffed it when B2 actually completes the catch, it is not a fair catch because it was touched prior to the fair catch.
Yes. And so, yeah, when I was originally reading these rules, this particular rule, because the fact that it kind of confused me because it never said anything about a different player touching the ball. It just says during an untouched field free kick. So I'm glad you clarified that with this key concept.
Yeah.
Right. And then still, the ball becomes dead when caught or recovered, even though it was not a fair catch by B2. It's still dead, as we talked about, because of the signal.
Okay. Yep.
Okay. And then our last key concept, the player who signaled for a fair catch is the one who catches it. You know, and as we talked about earlier, the purpose of the fair catch in exchange for the protection, the fair catch signaler and his teammates agree that they will not advance the ball after the catch. And I think there's a really good AR, 655 number three. Mm-hmm. Dwayne, would you help us out with that?
Sure. B1 catches the punt after B3 signals for a fair catch. The ruling, the ball is dead when and where caught. B1 is not entitled to catch protection, but is entitled to the same protection he has after any other dead ball.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Right. So since B3 was the one that signaled, when B1 catches it, he gets ordinary, unnecessary roughness protection, meaning they can't hit him late. If they could avoid it and don't, they get that kind of protection, but they don't get the protection that is listed in 651 for a person who completes a fair catch.
Okay, so let me real quick before we go on, let me go back this one where it says B1 catches the punt, right? B3 mm-hmm. signals. Okay, so
right.
Where it says the ball is dead, we're caught. B1 is not entitled to catch protection. So I want to touch on that a little bit deeper, please. So is this telling me that B1 does not get protection from the opportunity to catch this kick? Because it doesn't. Everybody gets everybody can get a foul for KCI. Anytime is what I would understand, but he wouldn't get protection after a potential muff or, so let's talk. Can you explain this a little in more depth, please?
All right. So that's a great question. So if, B1, catches it, but B3 signals,
yep.
B1 gets interference protection.
Correct. Okay.
He gets interference protection,
yes.
But that just includes that 1 yard
yep.
in front of him, shoulder to shoulder.
Yep.
And they cannot be in that zone prior to the ball being touched.
Got it.
But
yep.
without B1 giving the signal,
yes.
they don't get the additional protection.
Okay.
That is provided for a player who completes a fair catch.
Yep. Got it.
So, like you said, in essence, everybody gets that protection until the ball is muffed.
Yes.
Until it is touched. As soon as it is touched, and if they did not get a signal, they don't get extra protection.
Yep.
So what is that extra protection that they get for giving a fair catch and completing that fair catch? Right.
Yep.
So if we need to understand that, we've got to look at rules 651B and 655.
Okay.
So, Tyler.
Yeah.
What does rule 655 tell us?
655 says teammate cannot tackle or block a player who completes a fair catch. So completes a fair catch is an important phrase.
And that is important. It's also important to note that it says tackle or block.
Yeah.
you know, I know many people, and you will see this happen, that, you know, the player signals for a fair catch and then somebody from the kicking team comes down and bumps the player. And the crowd all goes, ooh, and you know, they think they're going to get some kind. It doesn't say they can't be contacted.
Yeah.
It says they can't be tackled or blocked.
Right.
So, okay. Yeah. I've always wondered about this, right?
Yeah.
So, this is, you know, for a player who completes a fair catch.
Yep.
Right. So, suppose he gives an invalid signal, catches the ball.
Yep.
I mean, in both cases, it's isn't it a dead ball foul?
So if he gives an invalid signal, now it's got to be something that fits in the category of an ordinary, unnecessary roughness, meaning that the judgment becomes that it was late or could have been avoidable. Yeah.
Okay.
And so that's why I brought up the point where it completes a fair catch is kind of the important part, because if a player gives an invalid or a player catches a muffed punt, that somebody else gave a valid signal, they haven't completed a fair catch. So they fall out of that 655.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I always thought about this and I was like, such a fine line. Yeah. Like, it seems like, and I don't know, I've never seen the second case, but if you get tackled after you complete a fair catch, or if after an invalid signal, somebody tackles you to the ground, I think those are both going to end up the
I'm
same
thinking of
thing,
some good right? test questions right
yeah.
now.
Yeah. So anyway, that's
good. This is a good little spot right here for sure. Okay. Sorry.
All right. So on the other part,
yes,
that includes the extra protection that a player gets after completing a fair catch is in Rule 651B.
Yep.
So if a Team B player makes a valid fair catch signal, the unimpeded opportunity to catch a free or scrimmage kick continues if this player muffs the kick and still has the opportunity to complete the catch. If that player or another Team B player subsequently catches the kick, the ball belongs to Team B where the player making the signal first touched it. This protection terminates when the kick touches the ground.
Yeah.
So as we've just been discussing,
mm-hmm.
after a valid signal, the player making a valid fair catch gets an unimpeded opportunity to catch the kick.
Mm-hmm.
And that's no different than our interference rules in 641. Where it does become different is in 651B, when a Team B player muffs the kick without a signal. If it's muffed, now it's fair game. Anybody can go touch it.
Yeah.
But with a signal, if a Team B player muffs the kick, he gets additional protection to complete the catch.
With a valid signal.
With a valid signal.
Yeah. Right.
And so what does this additional protection mean? Well, it means, like I said, without a signal, as soon as it's muffed,
that's rough.
The protection goes away. Anybody can go after the ball. Anybody can attempt to catch it. You could push the receiver out of the way and go get it yourself if you're a kicking team player, and there would be no interference.
Yeah, let's just put the phrase, you can legally contact the player in any form that's legal, whether it's push, tackle. Well, you probably can't tackle. That'd be a hold.
You couldn't tackle him because that would likely go into the hold category.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. But you can contact him legally.
Block him.
Yep.
Yep.
Okay.
Push him, like you said.
Sure.
Screen them out of the way, whatever you want to do to try and go get to that ball, because now that ball can be recovered by anybody,
mm-hmm.
right? It still can't be advanced by A, but it can be recovered by anybody. But the difference in 651 is with a signal, the unimpeded opportunity to complete the catch doesn't end until when?
Ball hits the ground.
That's the first one that talks about as part of that rule.
Yep.
What's the second one?
Well, that signaler doesn't have any shot opportunity to maybe regather that ball or complete that catch.
What does that mean?
Bounces out of his reach, or I mean, in your judgment, to where that player just doesn't have a shot of catching that that muffed kick.
Right.
Yeah. And when you say bounces, you mean bounces off the player.
Off the player. Off the player, so it's muffed. It hasn't touched the ground yet. So we're all talking, at least for this part, where the player doesn't have an opportunity to regather or catch that meaning it hasn't touched the ground yet. So it's bounced off of his body of some sort.
Right. Yeah, so that goes along with number one, that once it hits the ground,
all bets are off.
5-1 protection ends.
Yep.
So we're talking about, say, it bounces off his helmet and goes, 10 yards away, and that player's not going to get to it, and a Team A player happens to be there and catches it, that would not be interference, right?
Nope. Ball's dead. Then, legal catch.
Right. And then a legal catch. And then our last time that the unimpeded opportunity ends is when the signaler's teammate touches the kick. Mm. This goes back to our key concept number three.
Yeah.
That if somebody else has touched it, now the signaler can no longer complete a fair catch.
By rule.
By rule. Yeah. So the signaler's teammate touches the kick. Once it's touched by a teammate, a fair catch is no longer possible. And since it's no longer possible, then that protection is going to go away. This one is not specifically listed in the rule, but we can put this together with the definition that we need it to be untouched to get to this. And there's even a great AR about this. 651, number one. Dwayne, would you like to go over that with us?
I would love to. B1 and B2, each signal. B1 muffs and B2 is about to catch the muffed ball when A1 grabs and pulls him to the ground. The ruling, not interference, but holding. And then the penalty is 10 yards from the previous spot or where the spot or from the spot where the subsequent dead ball belongs to Team B.
Right. So as we just discussed, both signal, B1 and B2, each signal, B1 muffs it, and B2 is about ready to catch it. And he gets what would normally be interfered with. He gets pulled down. That is not interference because it's already been muffed by B1. So B2, even though he signaled, can't complete a fair catch. So it is not interference, but holding on that play rather than interference with the opportunity. And like I said, this goes back to our key concepts and understanding the definition of what it takes to get to a fair catch. And you could even have a wild play, say after B2 touches it, it bounces back toward B1. Well, interference is even off for B1 as well. This kind of play isn't likely to happen, but if you had some kind of a pinballing action on that catch down there, the fact that you had two players touch it, now neither one of them is eligible to complete a fair catch.
I hope your mechanics are so sound to be able to see all this. You know what I mean? This is what pump plays can be challenging. Obviously, yep. Matt, you mentioned this probably is very rare, but I think if we go into a pre-snap routine of knowing during a punt play and we have a signal, the first person that touches it is hopefully the signaler. If that's the case, then we still have some rules that we can fall back on. Once it touches somebody else, after it touches the signaler, we're out. We're out.
We either have interference if it's a Team A player, or not interference if it's another Team B player right. that touches yep. it. So, yep. Just something to think about. Like I said, I know it's a long shot, but the fact that they even put this AR in the book, I think says quite a bit about. Like you said, the crazy things that can happen on a punt play.
But find those simplicities before the snap or at least in your study, right? So, and Matt's hammered it pretty good so far as, the signaler and the person that has to be the person that touches it first. And then we could potentially still have some opportunities to protect the player as long as it doesn't touch another player after that. So, sorry, continue, Matt.
All right. So what else does 651B tell us? It also gives us the location of the next snap.
Yes.
So
what does that mean?
Yeah. What does that mean? So rule 651B, uh-huh. If a Team B player makes a valid fair catch signal, the unimpeded opportunity to catch a free kick or scrimmage kick continues. If this player muffs the kick and still has an opportunity to complete the catch, mm-hmm. if that player or another Team B player subsequently catches the kick, the ball belongs to Team B, where the player making the signal first touched it. Yeah. This protection terminates when the kick touches the ground, correct. As we've already talked about. Okay. So it tells us that kicks moth.
Yep.
Stopped by the signaler or a teammate, right?
Yep.
We're going to put that ball back at the spot where it was first touched.
Correct.
So let's look at some examples of that.
Okay.
So where would it be snapped after a fair catch on a scrimmage kick? So our key concepts, we've already been over those, but doesn't hurt to review. So valid signal, scrimmage kick is beyond.
Yep.
Kick is caught before it touches any other player, mm-hmm. and the player who signaled is the one who catches it.
Okay.
So our first example, B1 signals and cleanly catches the kick at the B15.
Okay.
Is it a fair catch or not a fair catch?
That's a fair catch.
That's a fair catch.
Right. So that meets all of our definition.
Let me just make sure that we're very clear, because it says B1 signals. And when we say that, we mean he's signaling with a valid fair catch signal.
Right.
It's all good. I want to make sure that we touch on that, because when you're asking me the question, is it a fair catch or not? If it's an invalid signal, then it's not by rule a fair catch. So I wanted to just touch on that real quick.
Okay. And we'll
hit that
follow up on that here in a little bit, but you know, very, very good point for these plays. I'm assuming that the signal was valid, so we're going to say fair catch.
Okay.
And it's going to be B's ball, first and 10 at 15, right?
Yes. Yes.
Yep.
So next example, B1 signals, yep. B2 catches at the B15.
Okay.
Fair catch or not a fair catch?
Not a fair catch.
And why is it not a fair catch?
Someone other than the signaler caught the ball.
Okay. So it's still dead, right?
Yes.
It's going to be B's ball, first and 10 at B15. But as we've previously discussed, B2 does not get the extra protection either to complete the catch or from contact, right? Okay.
Yep.
Okay. Example number three.
Okay.
B1 signals, muffs the punt at the B15, and then subsequently catches it at the B17.
Yep.
Fair catch, no fair catch.
Fair catch.
Fair catch. Why is that? Why is that a fair catch?
Valid signal and a catch.
Valid signal, right? And
yep. Same else, signaler. Yep.
Nobody else touched it.
Yep.
And the player who signaled is the one who caught it.
Correct.
So where are we gonna put that ball though?
Well, in your previous reading, it said where he first touched it. So we'll go back to wherever that ball was muffed.
Where the ball was muffed, line. So it was muffed at the 15, caught at the 17.
Correct.
And what do you think the purpose of this rule is? Why do we have this in the book that we want to move it either forward or backward from where it's touched?
Well, I'm assuming at some point in the history of the game, some smart player, bounced the ball around like volleyball or something, and, you know, upfield, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7 yards or something, and something of that effect.
Right. Because still gets that protection. they can't interfere, right?
Yep.
Hasn't touched the ground, hasn't touched another player.
Absolutely.
So if he just continues to kind of pretend like, oh, I can't catch this and juggle it up the field as they walk up the field,
yep.
There's not much Team A can do, right?
So correct.
To prevent that, put a rule in place that says we're going to move it back to where it's first muffed.
Yep.
or first touched, right?
Yes.
And then our last example, B1 and B2 signal. B1 muffs at the B15 and B2 catches at the B13.
Okay.
Fair catch or not a fair catch?
Not a fair catch. Similar.
Not a fair catch because...
Similar to the second one, someone other than the signaler made the catch.
So, no, this one, since it was muffed by B1 and caught by B2, the player who caught it
we had both players signal on this one. So, but someone touched whoever caught it, the other player muffed it, and then and B2 caught it. So once that other player muffs it and touches it, the fair catch is off. Yeah.
And Tyler brought this up earlier that even with an invalid signal and a muff with a catch by B,
mm-hmm.
you're still going to move the ball to the spot where it was first touched.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Even with a valid signal, but Tyler already hit on this, that it is not a fair catch, but the rules say that the ball belongs to Team B where it was first touched. And there's an AR to go along with this, 651 number one. So after a valid or an invalid signal, B1 muffs the punt, and B2, who did not signal, catches the kick, ruling the ball is dead when B2 catches it, and the ball is placed where B1 first touched it. So the only difference between the valid and the invalid signal is that they don't get that additional protection if it is muffed, but we're still bringing that ball back to the spot where it was first touched.
Yep.
So they don't get the contact protection, and they don't get the additional protection to complete the catch.
Yeah, and I think this is where the rule starts to get a little bit, can get challenging in other areas that we'll get to. But that first part so it's not a fair catch by rule, but we can still put it back to where it was first touched. And so that starts to add confusion, in some folks. So I'm glad you touched on that.
Yeah.
Right. And hopefully after all of this, like I said, we're gonna have a real good understanding of
100%.
Of where that ball should next be snapped.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So this was all about scrimmage kicks for the most part, right?
Right. So so far we've only hit on scrimmage kicks, but. As we talked about previously, there have been some recent rule changes, including a change to the touchback rule that suddenly increased the number of fair catches on free kicks. Yeah. So little background on that. The fair catch on a free kick, has been possible for a long time, but you just didn't see it very often.
Sure.
And then in 2012, the NCAA changed the touchback rule on free kicks that the ball will belong to Team B at the 25 rather than the 20.
Right. Yep.
And the reason for this change is that free kick returns are considered a dangerous play. A lot of injuries occur during them. So they wanted to try to incentivize Team B into taking the touchback and putting it at the 25 rather than returning the kick and potentially ending up somewhere inside the 25. So, to do that, they added that extra 5 yards onto it. But, as we talked about earlier, once they set a target, right. Once mm-hmm. the rules makers have set the rule out there, what's going to happen?
Special teams coaches are got lots of time to figure things out.
Yeah.
Push the limits.
Yeah. So suddenly now, rather than just continuing to kick deep into the end zone and giving them the ball at the 25-yard line, to use Tyler's favorite golf term, they would lay up the kick a little bit, right?
Yep. Pooch Kick was born.
Yeah. So they try and lay it up and have the kick come up just short of the goal line, right?
Yep.
So with that, the rules makers jumped back into the book and said, you know, hey, we still want to try and make it so we don't get a lot of kick returns.
Mm-hmm.
So they added an exception to the fair catch rule 651A in 2018. So just within the last 10 years, you've had two big rule changes that have kind of impacted the number of fair catches on free kicks.
Yep.
So what does 651A tell us, Tyler?
It says if a team B player makes a fair catch, the ball becomes dead where caught and belongs to team B at that spot. Now, the exception Matt is discussing is if team B player makes a fair catch of a free kick behind team B's 25-yard line, the ball belongs to team B at its own 25-yard line. And then the snap will be from midway between the hash marks unless different position is requested by the coach.
Right. Okay. So we've kind of gone through this a little bit on scrimmage kicks. So let's go through a few play examples on fair catches on free kicks.
Okay.
So first example here on a free kick. B1 signals and cleanly catches the ball at the B5. Is it a fair catch or not a fair catch?
Fair catch.
Okay, so we go back through all of our same key concepts, right?
Yes.
A valid signal, we're going to assume yes on these. It's a free kick, so yeah, we meet that requirement. Kick is caught before it touches any other player.
Yep.
In this case, it was a clean catch, so yes. Player who signals, one who catches it, yes.
Yes.
Now, our last, and I don't want to call this a key concept, but one of the things that we need to understand on free kicks is that if all of our key concepts are met and it is caught behind the B25, then we're going to move it up to the B25-yard line. As we discussed in the exception, right?
Yep.
So we can call it key concept 4A if we want.
There we go. You know,
key concept number 5. I don't know.
I like 4A. That's good.
Okay, 4A.
Yeah.
All right. So example number 2.
Okay.
B1 signals, B2 catches at the B5. Fair catch, not a fair catch.
No, sir.
No, sir.
It's not, right? We've kind of already been through this.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So it's going to be B's ball, 1st and 10 at the B5. Not a fair catch because the player who signaled wasn't the one who caught it.
Right.
Example number 3. B1 signals. He muffs the punt at the B5, catches it at the B7. Fair catch, not a fair catch?
Fair catch.
Fair catch, right?
Yep.
Correct.
But where does the ball belong to Team B?
It belongs to Team B where they first touched it, which was at the B5.
Right. It belongs to them at the 5, but then we're going to go into our key concept 4A, right? And it was actually caught, meets all of our requirements. So we're going to move it up to the 25, right?
Correct.
So the ruling on this play, B's ball, 1st and 10 at B25.
Yeah, and I think... I think it's healthy to walk through it in the proper process like you just did too, just for an exercise for yourself. Yeah. Is obviously it muffs it at the 5, catches at the 7, so we're going to return it to the 5 like normal, but then we're still dead inside the 25-yard line, which will now, as you put, move it up to the 25-yard line.
Right. And then the last example, B1 and B2 signal, B1 muffs it at 5, B2 catches it at 7. Fair catch, not a fair catch?
No, sir.
Not a fair catch?
Nope.
Because it is not a fair catch, right? We don't ever get to key concept 4A, right?
Nope.
Correct.
And so we're going to leave the ball at the spot where it was first touch. So it's going to be B's ball first and 10 at B5.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
Now, as you talked about, Tyler.
Yeah.
This is,
it's interesting. Know,
this is where things get even trickier.
Yes.
Yes.
So now we're going to have fair catch on free kicks that are either near the B25 or near the goal line.
Okay.
So first example, B1 signals, muffs the kick from the end zone, okay, and B2 catches it at the B3.
Yeah.
Yes.
Fair catch or not a fair catch?
No.
Not a fair catch.
Not a fair catch.
Why is it concept. Why is it not a fair catch?
Well, we had a go ahead. So we had a muff by B1 or signal by B1 and a muff by B1, but then touched or caught by another player, right? So to get the fair catch by rule, B1 would have to muff it and catch it, complete that process prior to touching someone else.
Right. So it touched somebody else. So when B2 catches it, it's not a fair catch, right?
Right.
But what else do we know about this rule and touching by somebody else?
It's going to go back to where it was first touched.
So the ball is going to be brought back to the spot where B1 muffed it. And where was that?
In the end zone.
In the end zone. Mm-hmm. So now the ball is brought back into the end zone. It's not a fair catch, but our kicking rules then come into play.
Yep.
That this is a touchback in the end zone.
Mm-hmm.
So we're moving it up to the B25, not because it was a fair catch,
yes,
but because it is a touchback
by rule.
Yes. And this is, I already had this play already mapped out, and then all of a sudden question number 94 on the national rules test came along.
Yeah.
that maybe stole my thunder a little bit, but I think it's good to talk about this from a key concept standpoint. 100%. That, you know, B28 standing in his end zone for the fair catch, he muffs the kick. And the in-flight ball is caught by his teammate at the B2, right? Mm-hmm. And they gave two answers. They said it was dead at the B2, or they said it was up at the 25. And the correct answer was ball's up at the 25. But now we have kind of a lot more of the pieces that it was not a fair catch, but it was a touchback that put it up at the 25. But you notice on this question, they throw in a little superfluous information of only B28 signaled for a fair catch. But as we know, that doesn't really matter, right?
Nope.
Right.
Not within our key concepts. No.
Right. It doesn't match our key concepts, but I think it's a good thing to throw in sure. there.
Yep.
So now let's look at the converse of that last question.
Okay.
So B1 signals, muffs the kick at the B3, and then B2 catches it in the end zone.
Bummer.
Fair catch, not a fair catch.
Not a fair catch.
Not a fair catch. And why is that?
Similar to the first one. Someone other than the signaler caught the kick.
Right. But it's also somebody else touched it as well. Kick is caught before it touches any other before it touches any other player.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
So we're not a fair catch,
mm-hmm.
but the kick put the ball in the end zone. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So now we have conflicting rules, right?
Yeah, we should.
Yep.
Yeah. Well,
one rule says that
we put it back.
If it's muffed, we got to put it back at spot where it was first touched.
Yeah, and it doesn't really, it doesn't say beyond or behind anywhere in that rule either, right?
Right.
So,
and it doesn't say, but by rule,
yep,
the ball is brought back to the touching spot, and I even confirmed this with Steve Shaw that in this instance, the fair catch rule supersedes the touchback rule.
Okay.
And the correct answer for this is B's ball first and 10 at the B3.
That's great.
Woo!
Yeah, I mean, know. Yeah. Hey, you're getting really in a lot of details, but
those are important.
If you use your key concepts to get to the answer on this, other than having the rule conflict,
sure,
right,
you still would have known B's ball first and 10 at the B3. Now we've got to decide, is it a touchback or does the fair catch rules supersede? And now we know that.
It does.
But I think our key concepts will get us to the right answer.
Okay.
And then the last example that I'm going to go over. So B1 signals, muffs the kick at the B24, and then B1 subsequently catches the kick at the B27. Fair catch, not a fair catch.
So say that again. I'm going to make sure I got it. Did you do the last one?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry.
So B1 signals, yep. He muffs it at the 24, and then he catches it himself up at the 27.
Okay, got it. Yep.
Fair catch, not a fair catch.
Fair catch.
Fair catch. Meets all of our key concepts, right?
Yep.
Now, where does the ball belong to Team B?
Well, as you just stated, we got to put the ball back where it was first touched. Right? So that's at the B24, which still leaves us inside the 25-yard line. So we would now move it up to the 25 and relocate wherever we would like to relocate, if need be.
I think you got it.
Yep.
And you know, there's so many more permutations, combinations that you could explore on this. But
yeah,
I think at the end of the day, you know, if you use those key concepts, you're going to get to the correct answer for this. So
now, real quick, I want to real fast before we jump back to the next page. Can you go back to 17 real quick? Slide 17.
Yes,
because we talked about all these signals and catches and not fair catch or fair catch. And then we're either staying inside the 25 or going out. Right. So the one I don't think we talked about, which I want to make sure that we do, and maybe we did and I was somewhere else. when B1 signals and muffs and B2 catches inside the 25. No, so who cares where? Okay. Doesn't matter where. Now, by rule, that's not a fair catch.
Right.
Correct?
Correct.
Yep.
But whether it's valid or invalid, I'm saying he gave an invalid signal. I should have started with that. B1 gives an invalid signal.
Yes.
Muffs it. And then another player touches it or catches it.
Yep.
That is not a fair catch by rule.
Correct.
But we are still moving it up.
Yes.
Right. And you're hitting on my exact next point.
Oh, sorry. Sorry, Matt. I'm sorry.
You're trying to steal my thunder here.
Okay. Sorry. Gosh darn it. I read through these too. I did. I really did. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Matt. I'm ruining your show here.
No. You're doing great.
Because this is where it gets confusing.
So far we've talked about valid signals. What happens on an invalid signal on a free kick?
Yep.
And there's a rule that addresses that too. So rule 653A.
Uh-huh. Yep.
A catch after an invalid signal is not a fair catch.
Mm-hmm.
The ball is dead where caught or recovered. And the exception during a free kick. If a Team B receiver gives any waving signal that does not meet all of the requirements of a valid fair catch signal, subsequently catches the ball behind the B 25-yard line, the ball belongs to Team B at its own 25-yard
line. There it is.
So to your point, an invalid signal does not give fair catch protection.
Correct.
But it does get the ball moved up to the B25 on free kicks if our other key concepts apply.
Yes.
So if we can go through our checklist, and that's why you want to think of this signal as valid, invalid. As long as there is a signal, we're going to move the ball back to the spot where it was first touched, and they could potentially get it up to the 25 if they meet all the other requirements.
Correct.
But what they're not going to get is the contact protection after the ball has been muffed, and they are not going to get the additional opportunity to complete the catch.
Correct.
So all of those free kick plays that we just discussed would have the exact same ruling, even with an invalid signal.
Yeah, perfect. Thank you.
And I think the important thing for this is that remember that the fair catch is a safety rule, and they want to try and get Team B to not return the kick.
Yeah.
And if we start getting really nitpicky about what's a valid signal, what's an invalid signal, eventually Team B is going to be like, hey, we can't figure all this out either, so we're just going to start returning the kicks. And that's not what they want.
Sure.
They want them taking that touchback. They want them taking the ball at the B25. So valid, invalid, as long as our other key concepts are met, we're still going to move the ball up to the B25.
Got it. Thank you.
Does that answer
100%
your question?
Yeah. I mean, I screwed it up. I screwed up the protocol here. I should be ashamed of myself not thinking that Matt Mills wasn't going to nail it on the next slide.
Right. Yeah.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
All right.
Oh, onside kicks. Here we go.
In addition to fair catches near the goal line, near the 25-yard line, the other time that we could potentially have a fair catch on a free kick is for an onside kick, right?
Yep.
And as we talked about earlier, there's an exception to the invalid signal. For a player who signals after the ball touches the ground.
Yeah, more than once. Yep.
So rule 283C. Tyler, you want to
read
that for us?
283C says it is an invalid signal if it is given after a free kick is caught. A free kick is caught, strikes the ground, or touches another player. And then the exception that we discussed earlier, 641F, where if it's driven into the ground and touches the ball once, we are going to treat it as it was kicked directly off the tee.
Right. So the fact that the signal is actually given after it hits the ground doesn't matter in this instance. We've got an exception to that. Mm-hmm. And then, as you stated, the player who gives that signal is going to be given catch protection. Even if they don't give the signal, they're still going to be given that catch protection. But if they give it, they get the additional protection of not being tackled or blocked, and then also the opportunity to complete the catch.
Correct.
Even though ball had already hit the ground when they gave the signal. So, and we've already talked about that example of driving the ball directly into the ground. And then they give the signal, it's just dead where caught. And that is a fair catch and is an exception to the invalid signal. And so after the fair catch is given, what are the restrictions on Team B?
This is the one that always drums up the conversation in pregame. Who's going to see Team B blocking after he gives that signal, right? So he can't, a player that gives a valid signal, or any signal for that matter, and doesn't touch the ball, can't touch anybody, can't go block another, a kicking team player.
Right. And there's a new change with that. The penalty statement changed for 2022.
10 yards from 15.
Right.
Brought it in line with rule 6. Not rule 9, I guess I should say. Right. So it went from 15 yards to 10 yards.
And when does that restriction end for Team B player?
If he touches it.
If he touches it, then back to game on. He can go block. Still can't foul. Yeah. And if it elevates to some, you know, that block then becomes something above, say, like a block below the waist,
sure,
it's still a personal foul rather than just the 10-yard foul for that. And then the other one, the other restriction on Team B after the fair catch signal is that they can't advance it more than 2 yards. You rarely, you know, the one you just talked about, something you don't see very often, but the not advancing, you just rarely see that called.
Right.
It's just incumbent upon us to really shut make sure we shut it down, get on that whistle, make sure the play ends. And then we already talked kind of about the restrictions on A after the fair catch is completed, that they can't tackle or block the player after they've completed the
fair catch.
Fair catch.
Completed the fair catch.
Yeah.
Now review that beginning, if that doesn't make sense, right? That's where it comes back down to the definition of a fair catch, right? So go back. Go back if you know, and listen carefully.
Yes. So you don't even have to go back. We can
right here. Here we are.
Wrap they up a little bit with kind of a summary of what we've talked about.
Yep.
So we have to have a signal, valid or invalid.
Yep.
Scrimmage kick beyond the neutral zone.
Or
any free kick.
Okay.
Kick is caught before it touches any other player.
Mm-hmm.
And the player who signaled is the one who catches it.
Yep.
And then on free kicks, we've got to look at where it was caught. It was behind the B25. We're going to move it up. Right?
Yep.
Correct.
And then, as we discussed, kind of that summation of if it is an invalid signal, it'll get the ball moved up to the B25 on the free kicks if the other requirements are met.
Yep.
But it doesn't get the additional catch or contact protection on either a free or a scrimmage kick.
Yes.
And I kind of put this in the conversation as you and I talked about, Tyler, kind of summing this whole thing up,
mm-hmm,
that to get to a fair catch, the signal, the muff, and the catch all need to be by the same player.
There it is.
And I think in summary, that's probably the easiest thing to remember.
Yeah.
If you can't, you know, quite muster up all the key concepts, I think that's a pretty easy statement to get to.
I think, if you take anything out of this talk, it's that right there. Fair catch equals signal, muff, and catch all needed by the same player.
Yes.
That gets you
solid.
That gets you the definition of a fair catch. Okay.
Yeah.
Yep.
And you know, as you can tell, there's a lot of threads out there that you could go chase down with this rule.
Oh man. Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's so many other places you could go with it. But you know, it was I hope a good summary of the fair catch rules, and hope at the end of the day, like I said, we unpacked it.
Oh, we did.
Pulled it all up nice and then put it away in our officiating bag. So when we need it, it's there for us.
Absolutely. And you know, real quick, before I get 6 emails from some people out there, let me redo this again. A fair catch equals a valid fair catch signal,
right?
A muff and a catch all needed by the same player. So I had to do that because I know that somebody would email me and tell me I did it wrong. So
there you go.
I'm having some fun here.
Way to clean it up.
Yeah. No, but then, like you said, this is just scratching the surface of this.
Yeah.
There are so many other variables. But if you use those concepts that Matt discussed in order, I guarantee you'll probably get to the right spot. You think, Matt?
I think so. I think it's going to lead to the right path 100% of the time if you use it. So,
yes, excellent
breakdown
coverage of this topic. I think there's other, like you said, you can change a bunch of variables to come up with different answers. But I come up with different scenarios. But I think just follow the process, you'll be fine. Yep.
And I think that's the exercise you should do, you know, out there is take some of those examples and change them up and see where you get and practice those thought processes and those key concepts, checkoff lists, and just see where it takes you. And I think that's a good way to practice it anyway, on paper.
Exactly. So,
well, as my crewmate CeeLo always says, good discussion.
Good discussion. That's right.
That was an excellent discussion.
Matt, thank you very much again for helping us, joining us, being a part of our program. You've done more than anybody has for us.
Yes.
So we appreciate it, and especially, you know, potentially the last guest on here. Couldn't ask for anybody else to do it because of the work you've put in for us and to make us better. All of us.
I appreciate that, and I do think there are a lot of great officials out there who could have done it, but I feel very fortunate that you guys brought me into your world and allowed me to be a part of your journey in making this podcast.
Yeah,
and you know, it was a lot of fun, and I think it made me a better official, and I appreciate it more than you know. So thank you.
In a way, it's kind of I don't know, full circle maybe, right? We sort of started out kind of getting a lot of rule knowledge from you, right? And advancing our rule knowledge because of you, and now you've come back and helped us do this thing, and then hopefully help a lot of other people. So we thank you. I mean, you know, we have undying gratitude for you. So.
Yeah.
Thank you. I appreciate you guys, you know, and your friendship. You guys are great men and fantastic ambassadors to represent football officiating, you know, to the whole entire world. I mean, you guys are doing it. So
thanks, man.
Thank you.
I admire the heck out of what you guys have done. And like I said, just thanks for bringing me along.
You bet.
Thanks.
Wouldn't ask for more. Matt, thanks so much for your time. And we'll always be in touch. We're never going anywhere. So, listen, have a great night, and we'll chat with you soon. Okay.
Thank you again.
All right, Matt. Bye bye.
Good night.
Well, can you pack anything more into this rule? I mean, it's pretty deep, man. Well, there's a lot, and I think there's more.
Yeah, like we said, though, that's why we like Matt, because he will break it down into these key concepts. Yeah. You just keep following those, and you'll get to the right place.
Realistically,
we
talked probably for an hour and a half, and you could take the key concepts. And get to where you need to be. Change the variables up in your little play scenarios you like to write down to get better at a rule and move it around and use those concepts, see what happens. I bet you'd be in the right place.
Exactly.
100% of the time.
Yep.
So we wanted to have old Matt on for our last guest. He never disappoints. He's a great producer for sure.
He's a pro. Yep, for sure.
So Dwayne.
Yes, sir.
Thanks for swinging by.
no problem.
We'll do this again in a couple weeks, and then
maybe wrap this up.
Wrap it up, and
yep,
and say goodbye.
Goodbye.
But for now,
yes.
Goodbye,
but for now.
Dwayne. Goodbye, Dwayne.
All right, goodbye, Tyler.
Take care. Bye. We want to thank you so much for taking the time and listening to Rule 11. We hope you got something from today's conversation just as much as we did. If there's any topic discussed from today's show that you'd like to come back to, please visit our website at www.rule11officials.com for any show notes and or documents that we have around today's show. Also, if you have any comments, suggestions, or future show topics, shoot us an email at rule11officials@gmail.com. I promise we'll read them all. One final thing is, please subscribe wherever you are listening to this publication. That way you can get alerts for the latest and greatest conversations. Now, enjoy the fight song of the week and have a great day. We want to thank you.